hey, everyone. Welcome, welcome. I mean, if that song doesn't make you want to talk about beer, I don't know what does. I love it. Lil Mo there. No switching it up. Same old thing. I'm Ken Landon. I'm the host of the Hudson Valley Tap Talk Show. I do this the third Tuesday of every month. I'm happy to be here. And today we're going to switch it up a little bit. Not so much switch it up, but in the past I've had breweries, brewers, home brewers, what have you. We're going to go to the agricultural kind of section of the beer industry and what ingredients and whatnot we need to make our beer. And with that, today I have Justin. We just went over his last name too, right? Riccobono. Sorry, Justin.
That's good, man.
From Dutch's Hops. How are you, man?
Hey, Ken. How's it going?
Everything's great.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming up, man. I appreciate it. So we're going to talk a little bit about everything hops today. How's that?
Fantastic. I love hops.
You better love hops. You're in it deep now, right?
Yep.
So you guys, tell everybody out there listening about you guys, what you're up to down there in LaGrangeville, right?
That's correct.
All right. Right on. And these guys are doing it, man. This is pretty cool. I think this is going to be an interesting show. Justin's got a lot of information he's going to share with us. I'm going to try and let him do most of the talking so I can get educated myself. And, you know, we're going to have a little fun and enjoy this hour. So what's going on down there, guys? What are you up to?
Sure. So, Ken, yeah, I know we were on the show last year. I believe it was back in June, maybe, of last year was the first time we came on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And just to let everybody know, we have Dutch's Hops. We're the first commercial hop farm here in the Hudson Valley, owned by Carmine Istvan, who bought the place. It was actually an old garden center that had gone out of business, and he's a successful businessman who has a very successful landscaping business, figured that he'd be able to start growing his own gardens, flowers, and shrubbery at the nursery to manage for his own clientele. I myself am a horticulturist, so had contacted him about possibly running the garden center for him, and he said, come on out to the farm, come check it out. So I went out there. This has got to be back in March of 2012.
Yeah, I was going to ask you how long ago that was.
And since then, you know, I went out, saw the spot, and I saw in the back there was like about 6 acres of just agricultural field. It's a 13-acre parcel where this garden center nursery was, and I asked him what he was going to do in the back if he wanted to grow shrubs or trees, and he said that wasn't going to make any sense. So he's like, I really want to do something different. I want to make this a destination spot. I want to do something, you know, big. And coincidentally, at the same time, I was probably about 4 months into just studying hops here in the Hudson Valley. And there's a place that opened up down in Beacon called The Hop. It's a craft beer bar. And I remember seeing this image on the wall of this guy on stilts from like the 1800s in a hop yard. And I've never seen a hop yard before, never even really knew what one was.
That's cool.
And I started investigating it, and I was like, I really want to go check one of these places out. So I started looking it up. I couldn't find any hop farms in New York State. I dig a little bit deeper. I see New York State was once the hop growing capital of the country, second in the world to Germany.
How amazing is that?
And I'm like, why is this not happening? So it was really a dream of mine to kind of try to make something happen. You know, fast forward 3 months later, I'm talking with Carmine about running the garden center for him, and he says, I don't know, I want to do something different, something that could bring people here, you know, make it a destination. And I'm like, well, what about hops? And he was like, what do you mean? I'm like, hops. He's like, hops for beer? I'm like, sure. So I give him a bunch of information to take a look at, and then all of a sudden in June of 2012, farm brewery bill passes through the New York State Legislature, and Carmine called me up. He said, let's do it. You know, let's start off with 4 acres. We'll kick it into gear. And a couple months later, in March, we started doing all our big investigation and just trying to secure all the specifics for a hop farm. And we planted 4,000 plants last spring at the farm in 4 acres. We can actually, this fall, we're looking at expanding to another 2 acres on the farm. But
essentially, it's making you one of, if not the biggest.
Well, in the Hudson Valley, we're the, I think we're the biggest in the Hudson Valley right now. There are a couple of other farms that have come online. We do work with a lot of other farms as well to try to help them diversify their crop portfolio with some hops. Because as you and I both know, there's a real shortage of hops nationwide, not only nationwide, but globally.
It's brutal.
It's actually, there was a report that just came out the other day saying that it's amazing. And as we see here in the Hudson Valley, how much craft beer has really been, this craft beer revolution, I should say, is cutting through the Hudson Valley. I mean, I think we're closing in on close to 20 breweries just in the Hudson Valley. And I'm not including the Capital District or New York City. And I'd say back in 2006, 2007, not even 10 years ago, I think we only had maybe five.
Yeah.
Five breweries.
Yeah, some of the statistics that were coming in, and if I'm wrong about any of these, please feel free, anyone, to give us a call or let me know. New York State Brewers Association gave us some stats up at TAP. What was it? There's a brewery opening in the United States every 1.2 days.
Yes.
Okay. So, and this is this these percentages. I'm might be a little bit off. At this time, I think we at 11% of the craft beer industry makes up 11% of the total consumption of beer in the United States. If I'm not 100% sure if I'm right on that, I know our growth has been pretty big, and I know the goal by I guess 2020 is to have 20%. So if you fast forward to 2020, we're at 11% now. We go to 20%. We're at a shortage at 11% of hops. What's going to happen by 2020? I mean, if something doesn't change, if people like, you know, Justin and Carmine don't come along and start, you know, producing some hops, this is going to be a serious problem. We won't even have the opportunity to become, our percentages won't grow if we can't get the hops, if we can't brew the beer, you know. So that's an interesting statistic, and I hope I got those percentages right. I'm sure someone out there will let me know if I don't. But
yeah, I think you're right. I think it was between 8 and 11%. I know it was 8 at one time. I think it's grown to maybe 11% of craft beer.
I know just the time that I've been involved. When I got into it, it was 2%. So the growth has just been phenomenal. Something that you touched on earlier, I wanted to just go back and reverse the farm brewer's license.
Sure.
There seems to be a lot of misconceptions out there of what exactly this is. Is there anything that you can clarify us as far as what it is to, you know, especially for, you know, I mean, I've been hearing bits and I should know more about it myself, but I just really haven't had the time to really jump into it. So
sure.
Anything that you could provide here that would clarify some of the things. This is a farm brewer's license.
Correct. So there's a couple of different licenses out there, and I'm not, and of course, you know, don't take this as gospel here, because I don't know every specific detail, but I know there's a number of different licenses out there. I know your place over at Crossroads, you guys have a restaurant.
On-premise license.
So, you know, it probably wouldn't, the farm brewer's license probably wouldn't necessarily work in your specific situation. But the farm brewery bill was passed, which helps incentivize New York State breweries to open up as farm breweries. And what that means is they would actually have to have a certain percentage of items that would go into that beer, excluding water, that would have to be from the state of New York. Primarily, of course, hops, grains, being the two major components. And I guess you could get yeast from New York State. But right now it's at a 20% rate. So 20% of yeast and grains, and then 20% hops have to be produced in the state of New York in order for you to take advantage of the farm brewery permit. And what are the advantages? The advantages, from my understanding, are tax incentives that you can get. There's labeling laws that you have to follow, where every single beer that you make, you have to go out and get a new label permit on it, Well, you don't have to do that. It's kind of all incorporated. It also
is that right? See,
it also incorporates your farmer's market permit is also incorporated in there. So you don't have to go out for a farmer market permit as well to go and sell your beer at farmers markets.
So it's almost like an all inclusive license.
It is. It's somewhat of a shortcut of not having to go through all the red tape for all the different things you want to do to sell your beer out there.
Now is it realistic to say that at this point in time a substantial sized brewery can they find 20%? Of their ingredients grown in New York? I think that you're going to be hard-pressed at this point in time.
Yeah, it's extremely hard-pressed.
Right? I mean, it's just not here.
New York hops, I mean, we're talking about hops right now, but, I mean, New York hops, there's and we talk about a shortage, but New York grains is even worse.
It's even worse,
York grains is really difficult. From my understanding, last year we had a very wet season in the state of New York. A lot of grains went bad. And of course, from my understanding, the grains have to be human consumable.
Sure.
Yep. So you know, most grains that are being grown are typically grown for feed. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess the Board of Health, it stipulates that these grains have to meet these certain criteria, and it's not being able to meet that. So I know Cornell's been working on trying to find a good two-row grain. That can grow and withstand resistant to rot. They're working on a couple of projects to just kind of figure out which grains are probably the best to grow that are going to be easiest in our region.
So yeah, so with the license, you're hard pressed to find the ingredients again for all New York State grown, right?
And they're not really. And from my understanding, when I speak to the people in New York State about this particular law, they're saying, "Hey, look, if they're out there trying to get as much New York State stuff as possible, yep, that's fine. You know, you can't just go out and get the bill, bypass the law, and be like, you know, I couldn't find any New York hops.
Right. Now I'm going
or New
to
York
Washington.
Grains, and sure. I'm just going to go with my other guys. So as long as it's you're trying to do it, you're trying to support your local agriculture, which helps farms, too, here in the state of New York. I mean, New York State was once and still is a pretty big agricultural force in the United States, and we can really, you know, make it a comeback. We got some of the best growing conditions in the world.
Now you had mentioned also when you were opening up that New York State was once the leading state in hop growing, right?
That's correct.
Now I don't think that pertains to grain is as well, but I'm not sure. But I do know that the soil contents, and you obviously know better than I do, and I'm only going from reading stuff, you know, that New York State was plentiful with hops. And it's amazing to me that we're almost like a full circle in reverse.
I love it. It's this locavore movement, you know, sustainable living, sustainable economies. You know, things are becoming very much, much more closer to the, you know, to the home again, where, you know, people are really looking to understand what they're consuming, whether it's food or beverage. And, you know, is this stuff coming from my local economy? Is it helping create jobs? Is it helping support the tax structure that can help pay for the fire truck that, you know, puts the fire out at my house?
Yeah.
So, you know, all those types of things are very much connected, and we're excited to be part of that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome what you guys are doing down there. I think if anybody has not seen a hop farm, it's just cool to look at. It really is. I mean, I had only seen pictures till I went down to your place, and it's pretty impressive. I mean, the whole trellis system and it really is. It's some sight. But what you guys are doing down there, I think you're kind of paving the way, pioneers, you know, or getting back into it, you know, getting everybody creating awareness on what's going on. And I hear little hop farms propping up here and here and there, which is cool. So the awareness is starting to kind of come to light. So with that, I'm going to go back to another tune. We're going to take a quick break, get a glass of water. It's a nice day out. It's a little hot, and we don't have any beer today, but normally we do. Next time I make sure we will. I want to talk more about the varieties of hops that, that Justin's growing down there, what's going to be, you know, who they're partnering up with and stuff like that. So everybody just grab yourselves a beer, sit in that lawn chair, turn the radio up, and play another tune, and we'll be back in a sec.
Thank you.
How's that? All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. A little Mo for the kids. Yep, I love Mo. The thing, Mo and beer, they just kind of go together. And now we're talking about everything hops. I'm here with Justin Riccobono from, it's Eastern View Farm, right?
It is.
Is that what it's called?
It's Eastern View Farm and Nursery, home of Dutchess Hops.
Dutchess Hops. Awesome. We're talking everything hops here today. Kind of like switching it up a little bit. Talk little plant that we beer lovers love so much. So, yeah, we were just talking about some interesting stuff while we were off air. So it's kind of like all along agricultural, wastewater and, you know, where the water goes. There's a lot of things that go into brewing, you know, brewing. I wanted to ask Justin, because I'm curious, the types. Obviously everybody, there's a whole different array of hops and what they do for the beer. So I'm going to ask Justin to kind of get into that a little bit and kind of tell us what's going on there and what types of hops and aroma hops, bittering hops, and then he's going to share some interesting things that he was just telling me. So,
sure.
You planted 2012, is that correct?
No, we planted 2013, last spring.
Okay. So it's 2 years or 3 years?
Well, this year we'll probably get a significant crop,
Cool.
We probably have about another year to 2 years till the plant's fully mature, and we'll be getting a full yield out of it.
And go ahead and tell everybody what you guys are growing, because I think you had a bunch of variety down
we
there,
do.
If I'm not mistaken. Just kind of some trial plants and just, right? So, I mean, I'm interested to hear what's going on, so hopefully everybody else is.
Great, yeah. Well, we have 4 acres of hops growing on our at our farm right now with approximately 4,000 plants. I don't have a final count yet on how much loss we had, but the hops are growing like crazy right now. We have some that are already 7 foot high.
Nice.
And the varieties that we picked, we really wanted to go with a high-yielding variety. Varieties that have been tested already here in the Northeast and New York State, Hudson Valley region, that are growing very well, and ones, of course, that brewers want. So, of course, we're doing some Cascade. We have an acre of Cascade, about 1,000 plants growing. We're expecting probably close to, I don't know, maybe 500 pounds, 500 to 1,000 pounds of Cascade this year. We have an Alpha Aroma, which is our Dutchess County signature reserve hop, which it's actually a New Zealand hop from New Zealand called Alpha Aroma. It's a high alpha aromatic hop, so it could be used for aromatics and for bittering. It's very similar to it's almost like a Cascade on steroids.
It gets me. I mean, I don't know. It's fascinating to me because and I talk to Hutch a lot about it and the hops. I just think it's amazing what the brewers do with these hops based on what individual hop does, whether it be the aroma hop, the bittering hop, the finishing hop. It's just it really is amazing. And yeah, it's like you got to be a scientist to figure out. All right,
sure.
This is what I want the beer to taste like. When it's going down your throat, this is what I want it to smell like as it's coming to your nose. This is what I want you to taste first. And each hop plays such a different role in the beer. I just think it's fascinating. I don't know. Maybe I'm just rambling.
No, you're right. You're right. I think it's amazing. Also, it's really the art of chemistry to such a completely different degree, because you're actually trying something, and how's the flavor going to be affected based on when I add the hops, how much hops, which hops, do I put a combination of 4 or 5 different varieties in? Do I finish with it during the cooling phase? You know, I mean, there is so many different ways you could slice it. And brewers have been doing some really creative things here in the Hudson Valley. At Tap, I've tried some phenomenal beers.
There were some phenomenal beers. Yeah,
and
it really was.
I mean, some guys, I've seen, I mean, I forget, Bacchus, I think they did some. What they did, they did a beet sour, which was amazing. I thought it was really creative and interesting. So, you know, I like that aspect of it. I think that's what everyone's really enjoying about the whole craft beer revolution cutting through the Hudson Valley. But to get back to the hops and what else we have in the yard, we also have an acre of Newport, which are also very high alpha, hop.
That would be an aroma hop as well?
It'd be an aroma hop. It's got high alpha acids, so it's, you know, could, you know, it could be used there. Actually, all three of those are really could be used for dual purpose, both bittering and aromatic.
That's awesome.
And then the fourth acre that we have is really a mix of a couple of other varieties that we're trialing in the area to see how they do. We have Fuggle, Willamette, Ultra, Centennial. And we also have a tea maker hop, which really hasn't been used for brewing. However, some brewers are interested in trying it out. But it's really a tea hop for hop tea. You know, hops have extremely unbelievable medicinal aspects to them as well.
That's a whole other ball game.
Whole other world.
You're growing a hop just for hop tea.
Yes.
That's awesome.
So we want to work with some of the tea places. I mean, we're looking at opening up a couple of different markets. I mean, we've partnered with the Culinary Institute, a couple of guys over there. Well, you know, one of the teachers over there wanted to see if he could get some of our hop shoots this spring. So we gave him a bunch, and we have some up. I should bring some up, you know, to your restaurant. I mean, hops, I'm reading these articles, hop shoots are the most expensive vegetable in the world.
Is that right?
Because it only comes out once a year. And typically, it's foraged in the forest, similar to truffles. You know, these large hop yards, they're not really messing around with hops and cutting the shoots. But when the hop plant starts growing in the spring, you end up getting a dozen, maybe two dozen shoots that come up. And what you want to do is you want to choose, like, the four strongest shoots to send up the line. The other ones you cut out. And those ones that you cut out, you can actually saute them up. They're delicious. I made a frittata out of them.
That's really cool, man. Is that true? Really?
It's true, man.
That's the first I ever heard of that. That is awesome.
So we're trying to create a market for that too.
That's good stuff right there. You mentioned that you guys were working with Vassar College as well.
We are. So actually, we had a professor come in to the, you know, to the farm last summer. And he's a home brewer. I didn't know who the guy was when he came in, and we start talking. He's like, oh, my gosh, I'm a home brewer. I love this stuff. Let me know if I could help out. I said, well, what do you do? He's like, oh, I'm a chemistry professor over at Vassar. And I'm like, excuse me?
Bingo.
So one of the most essential parts of this project and this business we find is that the brewers really want to understand the quality of these hops.
Sure.
What kind of hops are you giving me? You can't just give me a bunch of hops and say, here, throw this in your beer.
Right.
I mean, making beer is not a cheap endeavor. So last thing you want to do is ruin a batch by putting in some bad hops. So one thing what we're really doing is getting scientific with the growing of it from a horticultural side of things. And what we need to do is we need to analyze the acids and the oils so the brewers know, okay, this is what I'm getting. All right, if I put this many of this variety in, which has this acid complexity and these oil profiles, my beer should taste like this.
Sure, yep.
You know, and I can mix and match. So, you know, brewers want to know that stuff, and no one's really doing that. So I talked to the professor about maybe partnering up and see how we could work, and he actually put together a whole curriculum for his students on analyzation and testing. So we're going to be working with them to expand that program and see how we could do that and really get to understand it. I mean, Matthew Vassar, I'm sure, is looking down on us right now and is very happy to see that his college is now starting to get a better understanding of brewing, which, I mean, he was the most successful brewer in the United States.
Yeah.
When he was here. I mean, Poughkeepsie was built on beer, and Vassar College and Vassar, Matthew Vassar, had his own brewery here.
And it's amazing to me that it's just starting to get back into the curriculum at the colleges and stuff, especially when he was so influential at what he did. I mean, there's an award at TAP. It's a Matthew Vassar Award.
Right.
You know, I mean, excuse me. Yeah, he did some substantial pioneering in the brewing industry. It's a very interesting person to read about, too, if anybody out there has the time, the desire to read about it. I've done some reading about him. He's a pretty interesting fellow. But Yeah, so you guys got a lot going on down there. It's not just wake up one morning and go, let's throw some hops in the ground and see what happens.
Right.
I guess it could be, but the more deeper you get into it, it's just, it's never ending.
It's really limitless, Ken. And we've received so much support from everybody, including you guys over at Crossroads. The Brewers are lining up to get New York State hops regionally, locally. You know, we really like to have the relationship with our clientele, you know. So Hutch over at Crossroads, you know, he's very excited to work with us, you know, and have a better understanding of where his hops are coming from. 98% of all hops are coming from the Pacific Northwest, and we're really looking to cut into that market to provide a fresh local product that I know, you know, we all know that the Hudson Valley can create and can produce.
Yeah.
I mean, it was done at one point. Hops weren't grown exclusively in the Hudson Valley. There weren't really many farms. There were some farms, but most of the farms were up in the Cooperstown region. And that was primarily due to New York City. I mean, New York City was the center of the world back in the 1800s. So with the lack of preservation methods, milk and dairy and meats were dealt with a little bit more in our region, in our particular counties in the Hudson Valley, to be shipped down to New York State or New York City a lot quicker. So hops, you know, you could deal with hops later, you know. You could go a little bit further in terms of shipping.
Yeah, the end, I think a lot of people, when you get into business, you know, you do things and you kind of like hoping that you're going to have an end user. At this point, you know that the demand is there. You know right. That you have the people who are chomping at the bit to buy these hops. This is, you know, this is something that is almost a necessity. I mean, if the craft beer industry is going to continue to grow the way it's growing, just in New York State alone, forget about the United States, just in New York State, I mean, it has to happen. Otherwise, it's just the growth is just going to be stagnant. It'll only get to a certain point. It's like, you know, making grandma's sauce. You can only make so much sauce,
right?
If you don't, you know, if you don't have the ingredients. So, I had something I wanted to ask you. It slipped my mind though. You had said that. I'm just curious as far as, you guys are doing your thing on your farm now. Are you reaching out and working and partnering with other farms just to kind of like show them or kind of consult with them as to what you can or can't or maybe want to try, you know, within, you know, with the soils that you guys have and you're working on?
It's a good question. Yeah, well, you know, the bottom line is, Ken, there's not enough. As much as we try to keep up with the demand and grow farms, I mean, unless we go out and we install a 250-acre farm, which is going to be very cost competitive to do, it's going to take, you know, we might be able to meet the demand if we do that. But we're not going to be able to do that in any short time. And as more and more time progresses, and as we talked about, a hop plant takes 3 to 4 years to mature. By that time, by the time our yard is fully mature, we'll probably have close to 30 breweries in the region.
Right.
Or,
right, right.
You know, I already know, you know, a couple guys, Millhouse, I know Peekskill, they've already doubled and tripled their capacity because they're getting, you know, I know this craft beer from the Hudson Valley is becoming very, very popular. You're
Woo-hoo.
Telling me,
Woo-hoo.
You know, you guys can't, you know, you can't keep up with the demand. It's, you know what, everyone's really loving the product that's coming out of the valley. So what we've done is, you know, we have reached out to other farms, and we have helped other farms build. Right now, there's probably another 10 acres that we've helped incorporate. So, you know, it's kind of a three to even fourfold situation that we're working on. Not only are we looking to grow enough hops for our local breweries here in the Hudson Valley, but also home brewers too. You know,
sure.
Home brewers really love coming out and checking it out and buying local hops. But we're also helping save farms. And, you know, in the day where, you know, taxes are going through the roof and people are having a hard time making ends meet, a lot of farms are looking to diversify their crop portfolio. So we have, you know, about four or five farms that we're we're working with currently.
Essentially creating, you know, a hop co-op almost, right?
Right.
Hop co-op.
So we're working, yeah, we're working on a hop co-op, and what we're actually going to be doing is we're going to be investing in some equipment that will be able to package, pelletize, package, and distribute all the hops from the Hudson Valley.
That's awesome.
You know, through a central point. So not every farm is going to have to go and do that. You know, we could pick stuff up and they could ship stuff to us and we'll package it and distribute it out to the brewers.
That's an interesting thing that you just said, and I think people listening, hopefully there's one or two of you out there listening, have an understanding of what a hop is. You know, it comes from a vine. It's about the size of a, geez, I mean, what could it be? What could we compare it to?
That's a good question.
Geez, a peanut, maybe?
Yeah,
right?
I guess it's a little bigger. Peanut. Yeah.
And one of the biggest challenges is the freshness of the hops, right? And what Justin just mentioned was pelletizing. So kind of tell everybody what goes into that. That's a whole nother thing. This is what has to be done. So essentially when that hop is picked off the vine, if you keep it fresh, the freshness life on it is very short.
Well, you have to, there is a specialty beer that could be brewed, and it, you know, you could do a fresh hop where it gets picked off the vine when it's ready for harvest. You could pick it off the vine, and within a 24-hour period, that fresh hop, which is about 80% moisture in content, has to be used in that beer within a 24-hour period. So, you know, if people want a fresh hop or a harvest brew, some people call it, you have to get that. We'd have to line up a time. You know? So Hutch will be like, hey, look. And I'll call Hutch up and say, look, next week we're going to be harvesting those hops. You know, can you make sure you got, you know, we're squared away so your schedule's ready to go. So you come pick these hops up, bring them back up to Athens, drop them in the brew, and we're good to go. That's your fresh hop. Fresh
Which
wet
is a
hops.
Short window.
It's a very short window. One day at the latest. So then, whatever we don't sell fresh or wet, we'll then dry. We'll dry it down to about 10% moisture, and we have to do that in a very specific climate conditions. You know, the moisture can't be greater than 65%. The heat can't be more than 110 degrees. You have to have good airflow circulation. We basically have this box called an oast house, and that's we're going to be drying it. And then from there, we bring it down to about 10% moisture content in approximately 8 hours.
No kidding.
Yeah. So those are kind of the variables that you got to meet in order to do it high quality. It can't be done in the sun. It's got to be in the shade, and then you let it rest. You let it kind of maybe get a little bit more moist, and then at that point we could either do one of two things. We could either package them in like a Mylar nitrogen flush packaging, which will help rid any kind of oxygen in the packaging, which helps keep the lifespan. And then you have your whole cone hop, which some brewers like. Not all brewers do like that. A lot of brewers are interesting to what the second method would be the pelletization. And pelletizing would be we would actually mill the hops down to a fiber, to a dust, pretty much. And then send it through a pelletizing machine. But that's got to be done at certain temperatures so you don't burn off oils,
right,
essential oils. And then, you know, basically like a T90 pellet, like you'd see at a wood, you know, for your wood stove. And then we'd package those and nitrogen flush those also. So you're gonna save a lot on space with the pelletized. You're also going to get a more consistent product because it's all mixed together. And the thing the brewers like about it is it's not going to jam up or gum up the works in their brewing system. So it's a lot easier to clean out. It kind of just pretty much dissolves right in the brew.
That's awesome.
As a pellet.
That's
whereas
awesome.
A whole
yeah.
leaf, you know, it could kind of get jammed up and jam up the works.
Sure. No,
so
that's awesome.
That's one of the reasons why a lot of people like the pelletized product. So, you know, we'll be offering all those different,
not a varieties. Simple procedure, not as simple. It seems to, you know, it's pretty
technical
and, you know, harvesting. I know I've seen some stuff on TV, you know, the harvesters, the big arms that just come up and shake the trees and, you know, so it all sounds like fun and games when you just say, hey, let's grow some hops. But now it's like, all right, well, all these other things that you got to figure into cost and time, I think, That's, I myself had heard from some other hop growers on the smaller scale that the biggest problem was is that as the crop got bigger, harvesting takes time. If you're picking a single hop, could you imagine climbing up the trellis? What did it? What does it go? 20 feet?
Yeah, go about 20 feet tall.
Picking one hop cone at a time by hand, you'd be there for quite some time.
Yeah, it's funny because I have spoken to some other farms, and what's the reality? What's the viability, I should say, of actually hand harvesting and going out there? Hey, I could get a bunch of friends and
right.
and they could pick all my hops for me. Well, you know, that might work once.
Once.
You know, so.
That might work once.
And a lot of guys said it worked once.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
right,
and
right.
it's it because I think it could take a person almost 45 minutes to an hour to pick one plant.
Yeah.
One run. And we got a lot of runs. So, you know, we cut the whole thing down and we send it through a machine and it strips it and it separates the cone from the leaves. And then, actually, the leaves you could use also for tea. There's a lot of different, and it's very high in nitrogen, so it's also good to put back into the field, and introduce nitrogen back into the yard.
There you go, full circle right there. Well, what do we got? 10 more minutes. I'm gonna hit a quick song. Go get another glass of water, and then we'll close out with Justin from Dutchess Hops. We'll find out what kind of events they got coming up. We'll throw some plugs out for the farm. And
great.
We will be back in 3-4 minutes.
You say potato and I say three. 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 I am a pinball machine. I can tell the difference between my belly button or navel, ping pong pool cue or a foosball table. Sir. the difference between my belly button or navel, ping pong pool cue or a foosball table.
Hey, okay, folks, welcome back. We got about 5 minutes left, and we still had a bunch of things we wanted to talk about. So it's kind of, I learned a lot today. I'm happy to have Justin here, and he just said we're going to schedule out a couple months and maybe late end of the summer. We'll have you back on.
Sure. And,
we can talk about, you know, he'll come with some hop reports. He'll let everybody know what's going on, what they grew, types, how much, what was good, what was bad. Basically the yields of everything. So I think that's kind of interesting. So we'll see if we can't set a date and get that out there so everybody can tune into that. But I wanted Justin to just go ahead and kind of plug the farm and tell everybody what kind of events they got coming up and stuff like that. So
sure.
Have at it.
Thanks, Ken. So yeah, of course, anybody could come visit the farm. You know, Eastern View Farm and Nursery is actually a garden center as well. So we do sell plants, trees, shrubs, annuals, perennials, vegetables. So, you know, come out, support your local farm, support hop growing here in the valley. We're located at 1167 Noxon Road in LaGrangeville, New York. And you can check us out also at easternviewfarm.com or duchesshops.com. So that's www.duchesshops.com. We have a big event coming up, Hoptember the 13th, which is our second annual Hops Harvest Festival. It's on Saturday, September 13th.
Good times. Good times, everybody.
Yeah, it's a great time. We had an unbelievable time last year. We limited to 1,000 tickets. We want to maintain that it's an intimate event. Last year, it was fantastic. Not only do we have the brewers come, last year we had about 18 breweries and one distillery. Hopefully this year we'll get about 20 to 22 breweries, strictly Hudson Valley people, strictly Hudson Valley. So the best of what the Hudson Valley's got to offer, everyone comes down, the brewers come in and have a good time. You know, it's not, I mean, there's a lot of craft beer festivals out there and they're really heavy with the numbers of people. It's hard to get a drink sometimes. The brewers are going crazy. So, you know, we like to keep it very, very intimate, and it's, you know, like $50, you get unlimited tastings as well as food. We include food in the ticket
food,
as well.
The food was phenomenal, I must say.
Yeah, we have a pig roast.
The food was absolutely phenomenal. Who did that? Who was the?
We had the Bacon Brothers. They came in, not Kevin Bacon and his brother, but we had these guys, the Bacon Brothers. They're out of Beacon, and they are a phenomenal smoker. You know, they have this unbelievable smoker oven. And they did some brisket and pulled pork. Everything we do has hops incorporated in it. So Sprout Creek Farm did a hop-infused cheese. Crown Maple did a hop-infused maple syrup dessert. So we're going to stay on top of that. We had Tomas out of East Fishkill. He did an unbelievable spetzel and hop sausage or bratwurst. So, yeah, come on out. Check it out. You know, we're also working on this this craft ale trail, too. I know we wanted to talk a little bit about it. We could talk at the next show. But it's kind of just getting underway. It's going to link all the breweries and hop farms. So, you know, people could go out and do a big destination, just similar to the wine trail. But it'll be the hop or craft ale trail here in the Hudson Valley. So we're working on that. So stay tuned.
Yeah, that's something that I think that's going to be quite interesting if that ever comes around. But I know it's a lot of work. We had touched at TAP. We had talked a little bit about it. You know, there's a bunch of people getting involved. Is the state involved at all?
Yeah, the state's involved. I mean, they're really supporting this whole project. Just in general, hops and grains and locally crafted beer.
September 13th.
Hoptember the 13th.
Hoptember. All right. Everything, it's going to be everything hops. There you go. But, yeah. Give me one. Where are we? We got 30 seconds left.
Yes.
Before our next guest comes in. But I want to thank There you go. Sorry, everybody. I wanted to thank Justin for coming up, and I wanted to thank everybody for listening, and enjoy this wonderful day. Continue drinking next month. Thanks again, folks.
Thank you, Ken.